Hey there, welcome to the High Five Podcast. Each episode, we count down our top five favorites in a different category, from movies and music to the totally random. Get ready to laugh and maybe even yell at our picks. Let's get into this week's High Five.
So I will say, actually, I made our friend Todd listen to our film festival episode while I was driving in the car with him.
Yeah.
And I actually said, you can now legit say that I love the sound of my own voice. But what was hilarious is that he was watching me like critique myself.
Oh, yeah.
And I will say, over the weekend, I changed my drive-in movie theater pick to Salem's Lot, the 2024 version, which people apparently didn't like as much as the 1980 blah, blah, blah version. So that's that.
Okay. Good to know.
I don't know how you do it. I can't listen to, podcasts back.
Oh, no, I do it. It's like game tape. Like,
yeah,
so I accidentally erroneously said in my Dark Holiday Film Festival last week, Goonies. Yeah. And as I'm driving along, I'm like, Goonies? Why the fuck did I say Goonies? And Todd was like, did you mean Gremlins? No, he was like, did you mean Gremlins?
Gremlins.
Like, yes, I meant Gremlins.
That's what you meant. I remember you saying that. And I was just like, Goonies. I didn't really think too much about it, but I was like, oh, you must have thought it for a reason.
This is what happens when I'm drinking. Hey, so anyways.
No, it's good. No, it's fun. you have an opportunity to redeem yourself. Ooh, drinking some totally roasted.
I'm still drinking Vandermills.
Nice.
That I got from like in July.
Nice.
Cider doesn't go bad. It only gets better.
It does go bad, but it takes quite a while to go bad.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump into it, guys. Welcome back to the High Five Podcast, where we list our five favorite things within a given topic each episode. I'm Jay, and here with me is Caleb and Rob. I'd say I think all three of us love to dig into music and media and all the messy and beautiful emotions that come with it. So because of that, Caleb picked our topic last week, which is breakup songs. Everyone knows them. Everyone's probably had an experience where a breakup song has come on at the right time and you're crying in the car, you're crying in the shower, you're crying doing housework, or you're just going out dancing on a Friday night and forgetting about it all, or somewhere in between. What do you guys think? I was thinking about little icebreaker here. I know Rob loves the icebreakers. What's one TV breakup scene or movie breakup scene that really makes you think of, you know, a hilarious breakup scene, a brutal one, or just something that it just comes to mind when you think of breakups? You know, I ran into some of these with some of my music choices. They obviously align with some movies or TV shows. So Rob, what do you got?
All right. So, I actually did How I Met Your Mother, until the last season and specifically the last episode.
Yeah.
I have friends that call it the TV show that shall not be named. but I believe it was the end of season one. And Marshall, played by Jason Segel, and Lily, played by Allison Hannigan, break up. Because in the first episode, they get engaged. They break up. It's also simultaneously when Ted, played by Josh Radnor, has like hooked up with Robin, played by Kobe Smulders.
Yeah.
And he like comes home and he like leaving Robin's apartment, and there's a great needle drop, and it's not a breakup song, but this song is a great song that happens during this needle drop. It is This Modern Love by Block Party.
Oh yeah.
And he like pulls up to the apartment and Marshall's there on like the stoop with the ring, and it's raining and he's crying. And so that actually, like, I hate icebreakers, but as soon as you said that, that was the first one I went to.
I knew
Jason
I'd get
Siegel
you
crying.
Yeah. Well, and that show, I actually had one for on my list of, you know, when Ted gets left at the altar by Stella. That's an iconic breakup. And you know, every time Ted got broken up with in that show, how many times do you think he got broken up with in that show? Probably 20 times. Maybe not that many times,
After the
but
end of that show, who fucking cares? He was an asshole.
yeah. Right. But yeah, that's one that comes to mind for me. Another one that comes to mind for me is Forgetting Sarah Marshall when
Again, Jason Segel crying. Yeah, no,
Jason
I actually
Segel
thought of that one
naked
too.
in the
Yeah.
hotel
When you were
room.
talking about like when you're crying in the shower, you're
Yeah.
crying,
Yes.
you were rambling about crying. I was like, all I could
Yeah.
just picture is Jason Segel
Jason Segel.
crying.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Caleb? Anything come to mind?
So the first one that came to mind is probably one of my favorite breakup scenes, and it's from Schitt's Creek. And it's when Ted and oh my gosh, why am I blanking on her name all of a sudden? Hang on.
The daughter. I actually have
The
never seen
sister.
Schitt's Creek, but yeah.
Yeah, all I can think of is Annie, which is not her,
Annie, no, that is
Alexis.
her
Sorry.
name.
Well, and that's her real name, but Alexis
Oh,
Rose and Ted,
Alexis. Yeah.
they break up in, I think it's season five. It might be season six. But it's just like it's not like a super sad breakup scene. It's like they both made each other better and they both realized that at this time their relationship won't work. And so they kind of split mutually, knowing that they still care and appreciate and love each other, but it's just circumstances won't allow them to be together. And it's just a great scene. I just really thought that was a great breakup scene. And then my favorite kind of funny breakup scene is Dwight and Angela in The Office when Dwight kills Angela's cat
Yes, in the
and they
freezer.
fight about it. And she's like, I
Yeah.
just can't. Every time I see you, I see sprinkles, dead body lying in my freezer. So I
That's
just. It always makes me laugh. That's always a good breakup scene. So,
good. All right. I think that's pretty good. I won't torment you anymore, Rob. Let's get into
you're
this.
not tormenting me.
No, I'm just messing with you. But Caleb, this is your
Yeah,
topic. Lead
it
us
is.
off. What's your number five?
I just want to preface this. I don't really know why I chose this. Like, I'm not like an overly emotional guy. I haven't had a lot of breakups. I haven't had breakups in a long, long time,
That's good.
So it's just interesting. I just thought it'd be kind of a fun topic, so I just wanted to throw that out there. So when I was going through the list, I actually this is probably the most kind of things I've added to a list in a while, because I just like songs and music. But the first one
Yeah.
that came to my mind, is a newer song that I really like. It's Billie Eilish's Happier Than Ever.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know that song, but like the beginning of the song is kind of slow and almost like, 1940s kind of just, nice and relaxing.
When I'm away from you, I'm happier than ever.
And then at the very end, she kind of gets into this like heavy metal, like screams at you, and
I don't relate to you, no, 'cause I'd never treat me this shitty. You make me hate this city, and that I'm toxic.
To me, what makes a good breakup song is the lyrics and the words and, kind of the emotion that is behind it. There's the famous line is, I don't talk shit about you on the internet. You never told anyone any, or I never told anyone anything bad because that shit's embarrassing and you are my everything. So I think that's probably the most notable part from that song. But yeah, I think it's a fun song. Like I said, I love that it kind of starts and plays off one way and then gets into this kind of like real angry, pissed off, swearing at the lover, kind of thing at the end. And it's got a really cool music video too. I don't know if you've ever seen the music video, but she's kind of in a
No.
house, and then all of a sudden when it starts to get heavy, the house floods and she's got to swim out of the house and it's raining and she's screaming on top of a roof. So, yeah, it's just a fun kind of breakup song.
A fun breakup song.
Okay, so that was your number five. All right, my number five is called Vodka Cranberry by the artist Conan Gray. This is actually where I was
I do
last
not
week.
know this one.
This is
Yeah,
actually
I don't
where I
either.
was last week when I couldn't record on Wednesday. We brought Vivian to go see her favorite artist, Conan Gray, at Pine Knob. And
The Knobby Pines.
Katie and I brought Vivian and her best friend to a concert, and we just thought it'd be fun to bring them to their first show. And then we su surprised them with seats up closer to the stage. They thought we were just going to be sitting in the grass. But this is what we were doing, and this is his song. This is so I decided this is my format. I decided to do my because I redid my list probably 10 different times. I have too many breakup songs that I love. So I decided to model mine after the five stages of grief.
Oh
So
no, I talked about that last night. Fuck you. I came upon
I
that. My
wasn't
friends are going to
there.
be listening to this.
I wasn't there.
I realized that all five of my songs, because yes, I struggled with this too. I sent Caleb at one point, I sent to Jay and like our group chat with the other folks from the Crazy Diamond, like a list of 15 songs. And I was like, how do I narrow this down to five?
I can't believe
And
you.
I
So you did
didn't,
that too, Rob?
well, I didn't, no, I didn't so much like go into it with the intention of following the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross model of the five stages of grief, which are, of course, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. But I realized when I pick songs, my songs tend to be a little bit multi-generational. And I realized because I kind of picked, but I there are some that I'm like, oh, that's definitely the anger song. That's definitely the bargaining song. So no, that's hilarious, Jay, because we were literally talking, and I know you weren't there. And for the 12 listeners who listen, four of them were sitting at the bar last night, and they will know that. Yeah, that was. I was like, I'm gonna go with the stages of grief. So.
So I actually
I'm really,
did. I
really
put the work
curious to
in
hear what
and
you
going with
picked.
the stages of grief. So Vodka Cranberry by Conan Gray. I'll play it. Is the stage of denial. He's singing about so if you know anything about the artist, I don't think he's come out as gay, but he sings a lot of songs about men and he sings from the female perspective or from that feminine perspective. I don't know, but he sings about men a lot. But anyway, he's singing about how got drunk on too many vodka cranberries. He pronounced it cranberry. It's kind of funny. We actually made fun of the song the first few times we heard it when Vivian played it for us, but then it's a really catchy song. So anyway, he's singing from the perspective of needing to cut off a relationship because the other person won't admit the fact that they just don't work. And so that person's hanging on to the relationship, but they're really just in denial that the fact, that they're just not going to work as a couple. For that reason, Vodka Cranberry is my number five. And I would not, this was not on my list as of 2:30 today, but when I actually switched it out for another one that works for the denial stage of grief. But when I heard it, I actually was picking Vivian up from school and I was like, you know what? This belongs as my number five. And so there it is. That's my number five.
Nice.
All right, Rob, what's your number five?
Well, my number five does not have vodka, but it has cranberry. It is the is this the song Linger from the Cranberries.
Cranberries. You know I'm such a fool for you.
From the 1993 album, Everybody Else Is Doing It, So Why Can't We? I don't know what everyone else is doing, but maybe they're doing something. I don't know. No, this song is actually, it became the band's first major hit. It's got the incredibly haunting vocals and, of course, it's sweeping, majestic, and it's got this acoustic arrangement with the string select section. The lyric that really jumps out for me is, you know, I swear I would be true, but honey, so did you. So this would kind of be my denial song. Like, it really is, you know, do you have to, do you have to, do you have to let it linger? The Cranberries have a lot of great songs. Dreams, of course, is another one that totally invokes my high school days. Zombie, of course. But truly, for the first breakout hit, Linger, I have always said, is one of the Cranberries' finest songs, and certainly one of the finest songs of that era. So my number five is Linger by the Cranberries. No vodka, just cranberries.
Nice. All right, so that's our number fives. Caleb, what's your number four?
So I'm just realizing, and I kind of thought about this. You realize like all the really good breakup songs are female for the
Yes.
most part. You know, have you
Yes.
pick at least my list is. I don't know if you guys have that kind of same feeling, but
Definitely a
man, yeah.
large contingency of female,
So
that's for
I have a
sure.
thought about that, but I'm curious, Caleb, what when you notice that or observe that, what do you think, why do you think that is?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a cultural thing or if it's just, you know, they're more in tune with emotions and are better at vocalizing that or writing it. You know, I don't, I'm not sure. I couldn't pinpoint that.
Well,
So what are your
I think the
thoughts?
songs that are popular are ones that a large population connect with, right? And so,
Sure.
and guys think, you know, getting in touch with their, you know, their emotions is less than manly, and so they won't admit to listening to it. That's why.
I do. I kind of had wondered if, so of the f of my five, four of the five are female,
Same with
and I
me.
actually felt like I had to kind of dig for a male voice. My two honorable mentions are from male perspectives, but I kind of wondered too if it's like it's sort of similar to horror, that women are sort of allowed to be. Allow themselves or are allowed to be portrayed as vulnerable, and men are not necessarily allowed to be portrayed as vulnerable. Although we talked about Jason Segel crying in two different pieces of media, but so no, that's a really interesting observation, Caleb, because I had the same thing too. I thought, oh, these are a lot of female songs. So I'm curious. So what is your number four, and
What
who is
female is
she?
your number four?
So it's a 90s classic, one of my favorite songs. Sinead O'Connor's Nothing Compares to You.
It's been 7 hours and 15 days since you took your love away.
I love that song. I don't remember who wrote it. I don't think she wrote it. Did she?
No,
Nope.
Prince did.
No. I
Prince
was
did,
just gonna
right?
say,
Yeah.
yep. I was gonna say,
That's what
so
I thought.
technically there is a male perspective because it
There
was
you
written
go.
by Prince.
Yep. But no, I think the way she delivers, the way she sings a song, the way the song flows, the lyrics are really good. I don't know. I love this song. I think it's an
It's a
incredible
beautiful
song.
song.
I know it's a breakup song, but when she passed away, I think I listened to this like on repeat for like that whole day to honor her. You know, I don't know. It's a beautiful song. It's one of my favorites for sure. Yeah, you know, there's so many good lyrics, you know. You've been gone, or it's obviously it starts out, you know, you've been it's been 7 hours and 15 days since you took your love away. Just even that starting opening verse is great.
Just
Yeah,
the fact that you
I
know
just love it.
how much time to the minute it's
Right,
been,
exactly.
it means that much to that person.
So just an incredible breakup song, an incredible song in general. So
No, it's a
before.
beautiful song, and it's funny because when they finally release Prince's version of it, I find myself like my algorithm to be playing Prince's version of that song quite a bit. But kind of going back to what we said, it seems to be a little more socially acceptable for women to be vulnerable, right? So
Sure.
Prince writes the song, but its commercial success comes from Sinead O'Connor, who had incredible vocals, right? And it, yeah, when she passed away, God rest her soul. Beautiful voice, beautiful, beautiful song. And it's weird to think that both Prince and Sinead O'Connor are gone right now. So,
I was gonna
and
say my favorite line from this song, just so I can wrap it up, is
yeah.
I could put my arms around every boy I see, but they'd only remind me of you. I just
Yeah.
think that's a killer line. So
Yeah.
the other person who is famously sang this song, who's also passed away, is Chris Cornell. And that's
Oh,
a
I didn't know that.
very powerful version as well. In fact, I really do hate to say this, Rob, but out of the three, Prince's is my least favorite. And I
Interesting.
love Prince, but I just
Yeah.
think that Chris Cornell and Sinead O'Connor did it better. And in fact, I think Sinead is the best one. It just hers has so much more feeling to me, and I'm not going to knock
Her
anybody
vocals,
for
no, her
choosing.
vocals are searing. I mean, they're incredible. Yeah. I don't
For sure.
disagree. It's just like I said, I think my algorithm serves up Prince more now. It
That's
also serves
yeah.
up his version of Manic Monday, since he wrote that instead of the
Ooh, yeah. That's
Bangles.
yeah. I'm glad that this song got mentioned, because it was on my top five and I took it off for only the reason that I have more personal connection with my choices. So,
Nice.
but it's great song. Cool. All right. So that was your number four.
That's my number four.
So the next stage of grief that we're going to enter is anger. And that will be represented by the song Roses by Outkast. Sang to a lady named Caroline. And basically, just you could just tell he's been messed up by this lady named Caroline. And the main part, main line of the song is, just it's a very it's a you know if you know anything about the group Outkast, it's a two-person group, but it's Andre 3000 and Big Boy. They really only did one good album. It was Speaker Box slash The Love Below, came out in 2003. And this was really this was probably no this was probably the second or third biggest song on it. Hey Ya was the big song, but this
Yeah.
one was right there as well. You could just tell he's singing from a place of just raw emotion, of just really hating this girl right now because of what she did to him. And so for that reason, that's my number four and my stage of grief of anger.
So I just think you need to correct the record. Stankonia is a better album, just as
I'm not going to
a
disagree with you. It's different, though. This was more of a, this was, yeah. I'm not going to tell you no, but this had bigger songs on
I mean, Miss Jackson and So Fresh and So Clean are some of the best songs
No,
they've
I'm
ever
not
done.
going to, like I said, I'm not going to tell you wrong, but the big songs on this album were bigger. So
Sure.
I'm
Yeah,
staying
definitely
out of
was
this
more
one.
popular.
I'm just going to
I like
watch this
both.
one. I'm going to
I
eat my
like both.
popcorn.
Come on, get your Atlanta
Yeah.
rap in this. Come on, your Atlanta rap knowledge
Well,
in here.
and if you're an Outkast fan, you gotta know that, Atlians was really one of their best early albums before anybody knew who they were. So They're all different. They're all outcast at different points in their iteration. So I'm not going to disagree with anybody on that. So, but anyway, that's my number four. Rob, what do you got?
All right, so my number four here is really where I realized I had sort of a stages of grief thing happening, because this song is different than all the other ones on my list, and it definitely stands out on its own, and it's why I couldn't quite rank it. Like, on some level, people might say this should be a number one. It's not my personal number one, but it definitely represents anger, and it is "You Oughta Know" by Alanis Morissette.
Yeah.
This song from 1995, it's a lead single from that album. It's when you really, really, really wish ill upon your ex. What's interesting is that it features, and I don't think I only sort of learned this fact only a few years ago, but one of the guitarists is Dave Navarro, and one of the bassists is Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. The Jagged Little Pill album was released on the Maverick label, which is Madonna's label. It was one of Madonna's first labels, so she produced that song. So who knows how much money Madonna made off of Alanis Morissette. Madonna had a lot of good breakup songs. She's not actually in any of these top five,
No.
but this one, Alanis Morissette, "You Ought to Know," it was a Grammy winner. It's absolutely a song that defines the 90s. And all I will say is that I've met Dave Coulier several times. I've met him in a theater. I've never gone down on him. If it was John Stamos, if it was John Stamos, that might be a different story. But
Uncle Jesse.
yeah. So anyhow, that's my
Funny.
number four for the anger stage, is "You Ought to Know" by Alanis Morissette.
Love it. Love it. Okay. Well, that was our number fours. Caleb, what was your number three?
So this, I'm not gonna lie, was a little hard for me to narrow down which one I wanted to choose. Because I feel like this band has a lot of different breakup songs because of all of the drama with inside of the band itself and their breakups within the band. And that's Fleetwood Mac, in case anyone
Oh,
couldn't quite
yes.
get that. Landslide is a good breakup one. There's so many good, but for me, I chose Silver Springs. And the reason I chose Silver Springs is A, it's an incredible song, but there is also this incredible video. So this was supposed to go on the Rumors album, but it didn't. They cut it and it went on a later album. And there is a viral video of them when they reunited, I don't know, in like the 90s. And Stevie Nicks is just staring down. I can't think of her ex-husband's name, the guitar player and singer for Fleetwood
Was it?
Mac.
It wasn't Lindsey Buckingham, was it?
It is Lindsey
Yeah,
Buckingham.
yeah.
And she's just staring him down while she's singing this song that she wrote about him. And it's
Oh.
just incredibly awkward and awesome. And it's like she's like finally getting this like very public revenge on him. And I think the song, I like the song. The song's a great song. And I think the lyrics, time casts a spell on you, but you won't forget me. I know I could have loved you, but you wouldn't let me. Just some great lines. And the dynamics of that band, the fact that they stayed together for so long, even though, like, as a band and made all this great music, and yet in side there, getting divorced or breaking up with each other
Well, she
is an
not only
incredible
was married to
dynamic.
Lindsey Buckingham, but she was also married to the other one,
Yeah, I think so.
Mick Fleetwood.
Oh, I didn't realize that too. Okay. Yeah, I
Yeah.
knew there was a lot of different relationships
Yeah.
that came and went with inside of that band.
She was the pass
So,
around party bottom, okay?
yeah, apparently. But yeah, it's a great song. So,
And I learned from my buddy who owns a record shop that there was a whole iteration of the band before Stevie Nicks, and they played a bunch of really good music without her.
I didn't know
It's
that.
really interesting to think about. I was like, this is Fleetwood Mac. He was playing a really old record on at his shop that day. Yeah. So anyway, that's a good one.
I thought when you were going down the path of Fleetwood Mac, I thought you were going to go with "Go Your Own Way,"
Could be that one too.
which is
Yep.
again
Another
another
one.
great breakup song. Yeah, they have a
Yep.
lot of
A lot of them.
like you said, it's not only breakup songs about romance, but it's breakup songs about their workplace.
Well,
Yeah.
and I mean, like, they're singing each other's lyrics about the
Right.
other person, or
Yeah.
about themselves. So it's
Yeah.
kind of crazy. Yeah.
What a fucked up vibe that was.
Yep. Okay. All right. So that was your number three. My number three is from the modern Stevie Nicks, some would say, and that's Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
I could not do this list and be respected in my own household if I didn't pick a Taylor song.
I feel like the people that in a modern list who have written the most breakup songs are Adele and Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Is
Yep.
that fair?
Probably.
No,
Yeah.
I
Yep.
think you're right.
Yeah, so anyway, we're entering the stage of bargaining, the what if, the if only, the retrospective, thinking of how things could have been. And this song that I'm picking is Midnight Rain. It's got this distorted Moog synth in it that is just like so perfect. Pitch down vocals. It's got just like there's like a vocal manipulation that they do to her voice. I think it's her singing part of that. Yeah, some of the meaningful lyrics in it are, he wanted it comfortable, I wanted that pain. He wanted a bride, I was making my own name. And then just re her just reflecting on just like a separation of desires, separation in paths, and just regretting those choices. And so it's just very powerful. It's one that just sounds so good cranked up in your car. And so for that reason, the bargaining stage is Midnight Rain by Taylor Swift, my number three.
Okay.
Nice.
Good choice.
Do we know which X that song was about or no?
I thought I asked that. I did not see that. Nope. I
Just
don't
was
think it was
curious.
about anybody specific. Who do you think that was about, Vivian? Vivian just stopped in to listen. Who was Midnight Rain about? Who was she dating at that point in her life?
She was dating, oh crap, the latest boyfriend that she just broke up with, like before Travis.
Okay.
I don't remember his name. Dang it, I should know this.
Yeah, I'm really surprised you don't know
Must
the.
not be about him though.
Okay.
Because she always seems to write about, like, I
Rain.
don't know, it could still be like, I don't know, like Jake Gyllenhaal or something.
Yeah, that was.
Still writes
She
about
dated
him.
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, that's actually who All Too Well is about,
Of course.
and the 10-minute vision. Yep.
Wow. Well,
Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal is much better than Dave Coulier.
True. Cool. All right. So that was my number three, Rob. What was your number three?
If I'm going along with the stages of grief, and this is the bargaining song, this song is actually probably the most personal on the list for me. So I picked like a lot of songs that are like really technically good breakup songs. But this is called String Along Song by Jay Brannon.
Thanks for leading me on, but this time I'm gonna be strong. Although your disinterest kinda came as a surprise, cause you could see the sin and the sadness and taste the gin and the madness on my lips and in my eyes. Well, I can't help that I wanna see you again. But it takes two to start a string along song, and only one make it end.
He's a queer artist, very lo-fi kind of indie folk. It kind of opens with "To the boy who should have loved you, from the boy who should have loved me, from the boy you could have had. I promise not to send this letter. I wouldn't want you to feel bad." And this is this song probably summarizes not just one or two people that I've dated, but maybe quite a few. It really is quite beautiful. And the idea of the string along song is that at the end, it says, "But it takes two to start a string along song, and only one to make it end." So I had a chance to see Jay Brannon live in Cambridge, Massachusetts, many, many years ago. But yeah, this song is probably of all the songs that I'm going to be talking about tonight, this is probably the one that I most personally connect to.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. So that was all of our number threes. Let's go to our number twos, Caleb.
So my number two's Thunder was already taken, as it was already stated on Rob's list.
Wait,
But it
what?
is, yep, but it is one of my favorite breakup songs, and it is, it's the 90s kid in me, and it's Alanis Morissette, You Ought to
We
Know. I
Oh my. All
love
right.
that song. Such a good breakup
Cheers. That's a
song.
match. We got a match.
It's an incredible song. I don't need to say more. I think what you said sums it up. It's just great. It also, pops up in the office as well, in some karaoke scene too. So that's always one of my favorites with when they sing it in karaoke in the
And that's
office.
the thing.
So.
It really is sort of a song that sort of stands apart.
Oh
I
yeah.
have another one that I'm going to say suggest stands apart, and that's the one I'm going to save for my last one. But yeah, You Ought to Know. I really debated with it because it's not one that I sort of connect to from a breakup or romantic perspective, but
Yeah,
it
sure.
definitely encapsulates an era of my youth. And it is, I mean, her vocals,
The
right? Like
passion, the
it
power.
really is there is a like a very primal pain that is expressed in that song. And when we're talking about breakup songs, I felt like it would have been wrong to not include this song.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jay, you got your number two?
I don't know.
Yeah,
He's
sorry.
checking his email.
He's distracted.
No, I was pulling up lyrics. Okay.
Free.
So my number two, we're entering the second to last stage of grief, which is depression and deep sorrow. So my number two is by the artist Noah Kahan, and that's the song Stick Season.
Vermont, but it's the season of the sticks, and I saw your mom. She forgot that I existed, and it's half my fault. But I just like to play the victim. I'll drink alcohol till my friends come home for Christmas, and I'll dream each night of some version of you that I might not have, but I did not lose. Now your tire tracks in one pair of shoes, and I'm split in half, but that'll have to do.
This came out, I want to say just a couple years ago. And it was one that actually Vivian introduced to me, and it's kind of like a country song. I would consider him indie. He's I don't think he's played on country radio. Maybe he is. I don't know. I don't listen to country radio, but it does have kind of a twangy sound to it. But it's kind of the, reflecting on breaking up from somebody. And the chorus goes, I love Vermont, but it's the season of the sticks. I saw your mom. She forgot that I existed. It's half my fault, but I just like to play the victim. I'll drink alcohol till my friends come home for Christmas. I'll dream each night of some version of you that I might not have, but I did not lose. Now your tire tracks and one pair of shoes, I'm split in half, but that'll have to do. So he's just like talking about how good he had it, and how, he's just sad that, the person that he lost is choosing to leave him, and there's just nothing he can do about it. So he's just gonna drink till his friends come home for Christmas. Yeah, it's a sad song, but it's got a big feeling to it. And it just, yeah, it just you really feel that grief, that loss, that it could even be from death. It could be from losing someone in a multitude of different ways, but obviously it's saying to that point of view. So that's my number two, Stick Season by Noah Kahan.
Nice.
Rob, what do you got? What's your number two?
All right, my number two, I'm going to kind of switch a little bit of stages of grief because I really feel that the depression stage is my number one song, and I really do think it's the probably all-time best breakup song. So my number two would be like the acceptance stage. Now, this is an artist that I deeply love. It is like kind of a poppy, jazzy song. The entire album, it was a poppy jazzy song. It's from 1971. It's from the album called Tapestry by the artist Carole King. The song is It's Too Late.
Stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time. There's something wrong here, there can be no denying. One of us is changing, or maybe we've just stopped trying.
It's too late, baby, but it is too late. But we really did try to make it. And this is a real mature take on a blameless end to a relationship. So I feel like this is kind of one of those things where if you've ever been in like dating someone, you're like, the person's fine, I'm fine, but this is just not like working for either of us. And so it's sort of like a conversation in this song. It won a Grammy. It's actually listed in one of the Rolling Stones magazine's 500 greatest songs. So It's Too Late by Carole King would be my acceptance choice, and this is my number two choice.
That's good. I love that song. Nice. Cool. All right. So that was your number two, Caleb. Let's move on to our number ones. What do you got?
All right. So this is really the only breakup song that I actually ever listened to after a breakup, and I've actually used and has meant something to me. And it's from an artist that I believe every time we've talked about music or in the realms of music has been on my list. So of course he's going to be on my list again. Any guesses who that is?
It's Coldplay.
Nope, it's not Coldplay. Nope,
Weezer.
not Weezer.
No.
Nope. So my number one is Ben Folds Five,
Oh.
Song for the Dumped. Just and again, it was one that actually meant a lot to me, primarily because when the person that I had broken up with, I did spend a lot of money on, and I did spend a lot of energy and effort and all of this. And the main line is, give me my money back. Give me my money back, you bitch. I want my money back, and don't forget my black t-shirt. And so it just, it meant a lot to me, because that's kind of what I felt like. Like, I wasted all this time and money and effort and energy, and got nothing. So it'd be nice to have it back. And plus, I love that song. It's an incredible song. He just, sings with passion, and it's, a little silly and funny, but I still really like this song a lot. So that's my number one.
It's a great song. Yeah, Ben Folds. Yeah, you know I love Ben Folds too. I should have gone with that. I only went with Coldplay because everyone knows I hate Coldplay.
I
And let's
wouldn't be
be
that too.
honest, as we've learned this summer, Coldplay is responsible for breakups.
I
Or,
was really trying to put Coldplay on my list for you, Rob, and it just kept
to.
falling off. But it is, I think I do have one in my, maybe not. I
That's
don't even
because
think
you
I have one in my
consciously
honor.
uncoupled from Coldplay.
There you
Was that what the couple is saying, that they consciously uncoupled beforehand?
No, that was fucking Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, well,
Where she broke up with Chris Martin because and then she had to stick fucking vagina candles up on sale. Anyways, get that goop. Get
That's funny.
that goop. That should be a breakup song. Get that
Yep, get that goop.
goop.
There you go. Okay, so my number one is Entering the Stage of Acceptance. This is kind of it does touch on some, it kind of refers to all of the other stages, but it really the way the song ends and the way the chorus ends, it's really the to the point of acceptance. It's the song is Love Yourself by Justin Bieber.
My mama don't like you, and she likes everyone. And I never like to admit that I was wrong. And I've been so caught up in my job, didn't see what's going on, but now I know. I'm better sleeping on my own, 'cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself.
It's got just a very full of feeling sound to it. It's not overdone. It's just like an electric guitar strumming. And yeah, the chorus goes, my mama don't like you, and she likes everyone. I never liked to admit that I was wrong. And I've been so caught up in my job, didn't see what's going on, but now I know I'm better sleeping on my own. 'Cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself. So it's just like really putting closure on the whole situation. Like, I forgive you. I've moved on. I really hope, like, you can read it in one way. It's like you can go love yourself, like you can go fuck yourself, sort of way. Or you can look at it as like you really need to move on. And if you loved yourself, like you could actually have success in your next relationship. And so I think it's coming from a really good, positive, healthy spot, as the song goes on and you realize it. And so because of that, like every time this song comes on, I just fall right into it. I love Justin Bieber, love this song. So for those reasons, this is my stage of grief of acceptance and healing. Love Yourself by Justin Bieber.
Okay.
Rob, what do you got?
All right, so this is the song that would be the depression stage in the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross model of grief. But this song had to be number one because it really is probably the definitive breakup song. Just from the opening notes of the piano playing, when you hear it, you know you are hearing Adele, Someone Like You.
that you're settled down, that you found a girl and you're married now. I heard that your dreams came true. Guess she gave you things I didn't give to you.
From the 21 album in 2011. It was her first number one hit in the UK. It was the second number one hit in the US. The piano ballad that starts off the song, it completely sweeps you along. Yeah. It's full of melancholy. And I really believe when you listen to her voice and you listen to the lyrics, she truly does sincerely wish the ex well. Yeah. And she sincerely hopes that she will find what she needs eventually. But you can just the rawness of her voice, you can tell that she's still within the pain of it all.
Yeah.
And so I know we talk about like You Oughta Know and a few of the others, and like Jay Brandon's String Along song is probably my most personal. But there is from an artistic standpoint, I have to give props to Adele, Someone Like You. I really feel like there is no other breakup song like it.
Sure. Yep.
Yep.
I had this song on my list for a bit. I had Hello for a while on there. There was another one, I can't remember, Rolling in the Deep. Like, she's got some good breakup songs.
She's got quite a few of them.
This really tops it, I think.
The,
you're right.
The other one I had was sort of her snarky one, Send My Love to Your New Lover.
Yeah, that's
a good one, too.
Just the guitar part. I actually really love that song, but no. Someone Like You, like I said, as soon as everyone hears those pianos, those piano keys,
sucks you right in.
You know what you're going to hear, and everybody sort of knows the lyrics, and they're all singing along in the car or the shower or wherever.
Yeah.
But that, to me, I couldn't have it as my number two for the depression stage. It's head and shoulders above every other song I've spoken about tonight.
Yeah.
And frankly, it's head and shoulders above every other song you guys have spoken about tonight.
Ouch. I really wanted to put an Adele song on my list, but and I really liked Adele when those songs were popular, but maybe it's just I didn't have as personal of experience with it. Maybe it was because everybody was so into it. But yeah, I do not disagree with you, Rob. This song and Adele in general, she is the king of these breakup songs, that's for sure. And this one definitely is her top. So I agree with you. But mine was better.
And you know what, Jay? As I said to you earlier, the quote Taylor Swift from a song I've never heard, we are never, ever, ever getting back together.
Like ever.
Ever.
You've never heard that song even in passing?
No. I know. My thing about my algorithm does not serve up Taylor Swift. The only song I know of hers is Shake It Out. So
Shake It Off.
Shake It Off.
Or whatever. Oh wait, Shake It Out. Shake It Out is Florence and the Machine. Sorry.
Yes.
Which is another great song.
Very good. Yep.
But anyhow. Yeah, no. Look, I respect Taylor as a businesswoman. From everything I've heard about her from a business standpoint, I just don't really know her as a musician.
That's okay. Okay, so that was your number one.
Everyone's number one.
Yeah, let's.
I've got honorable mentions.
Anybody? Yeah, Caleb, you got any honorable mentions?
Yeah, I had quite a few. Bill Withers, Ain't No Sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
Really like that song. I did have Taylor Swift's We Are Never, Ever, Ever Getting Back Together. The actual official title, but it's a good one. Lizzo, Truth Hurts.
Oh, yeah.
And one that I just knocked off just because I really like this song, but like it's a newer song. It has no emotional attachment to me or any sort of meaning to me. And it's Olivia Rodriguez, Driver's License. Oh, I just think it's
my, that was on my list song. For a while too. Yeah. Great song.
But again, I just has no significance to me. It's, you know, a newer song. I don't, you know, it doesn't necessarily relate to me, but I loved the lyrics and the way she sings in that song. And it's a good song.
I had Driver's License on there for a while. I had her newer song, Vampire, And yeah, those are my two of hers that I liked. But yeah, anything else?
Nope, that's all of them.
Okay. I had this was my first memory of like heartbreak and hearing a song that I related to. And this was, I wish it,
Iggy
nope.
Breaky
It was, no, it's funny.
Heart.
That was my second song.
Sorry.
Mine was I Wish It Would Rain by Phil Collins. This
Okay.
came out in 1989. It peaked number three on the Billboard. And so, this puts me, 9, 10 years old, when this song is popular. And so I was probably, trying to, kiss a girl behind the jungle gym and she turned me down. And then I heard this song on the, AP top 20 or whatever. And I really felt something for the first time. And so, fun fact about this song is Eric Clapton plays the guitar on it.
Okay.
Never knew that. Other songs I had Liability by Lorde. This song is like such a juxtaposition on the album Melodrama, which came out in 2017. It's like all the other songs are like highly produced and poppy and what you think of when you think of Lorde, but this one was very stripped down. Just very retrospective about I'm too much for people. I was the reason that this relationship failed. And just kind of looking inward about, well, I guess I'm just gonna have to be alone. Another song I had was Don't Start Now by Dua Lipa. I love Dua Lipa. Enough said. Don't show up, don't come out, don't start caring about me now. And then I had Cry Me a River by Justin Timberlake. Yeah, just that song, just how, it allegedly is about his breakup with Britney Spears. But yeah, you don't have to say what you did. I already know. I found out from him. And then lastly, this song was on my top five, but then I realized she can sing any song. She can sing The Phone Book and it'll be at number one on the Billboard. She can sing a Christmas song. She can sing a power ballad. She can sing a dance club song. She can sing inspirationally.
Kylie?
Mariah Carey, We Belong
Oh.
Together. This song is another one that you hear it in the car and you just crank it because it's got just like a full range of sound. And I don't care who you are. If you have any sort of ear for music, this is beautiful. And Mariah Carey, she's just, got the voice of an angel. So yeah, those are my honorable mentions. Rob, what do you got?
Nice. All right. I added one kind of late last night when I was thinking about this phases of grief, and really probably a better denial song than Linger by the Cranberries, although I love that song. But more specifically to the theme of denial is White Flag by Dido. This
Oh,
song,
yeah.
yeah, this song came out like back in like 2003.
Yeah.
And when I love the music video because it has David Boreanaz, right? Like, so she's like totally like not like she's still smitten with David Boreanaz, right? And he's completely oblivious of her. But when it ends, you realize that the hunter becomes the hunted because she goes back to her apartment. She's got all these pictures of him. He goes back to his apartment. And even though throughout the video, he's like totally oblivious of her, he has pictures of her. But yeah, White Flag by Dido was a pretty good song. The other one I wanted to kind of point out was How Can You Mend a Broken Heart by Al Green.
Oh, yeah.
This was written by the Brothers Gibb. Yes, the Bee Gees. It's totally a soul ballad from 1972, from Al Green's album Let's Stay Together. Let's Stay Together, right, could arguably be like someone bargaining in a breakup, but
Denial. Yep.
right, yeah, but how can you mend a broken heart? Look, that's just sort of the question you wrestle with when a relationship has ended, whether you've broken up with someone or they've broken up with you. Absolutely love that song. And then my final honorable mention goes to, well, let me just say this. There are ballads, like
Coldplay?
Adele, someone like you. And then there are power ballads. So
Ooh.
what are the diff what's the difference between a ballad and a power ballad? I'm gonna guess that it's more testosterone, more guitars, and bigger hair. And I'm gonna
You gotta
say
have a
Every
good key
Rose.
change in there.
Okay, all right,
Yeah.
probably. All right, Caleb, any thoughts at
A
what
bridge.
distinguishes a ballad from a power ballad?
No, I think what you said. Yeah, I think it's it's more of like
Bigger hair.
your rock, yeah, your rock band that, slows down and then speeds up. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with Every Rose Has a Thorn by Poison. Bret Michaels was in a laundromat waiting for his clothes to dry, and he called his girlfriend on a payphone. And he hears a male voice in the background and was devastated. So he goes back into the laundromat and he writes the song
That's good.
completely within one night. Similar to like, Dolly Parton wrote both I Will Always Love You and
Like Jolene or something. Jolene.
Jolene in one
Yeah.
night, right? Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. So Bret Michaels writes this great song, Every Rose Has a Thorn, by Poison in one night. And yeah, I mean that's a solid power
Yeah.
ballad.
Yep.
Yeah. This was a good topic, guys. Like, I don't think I've changed my list for a topic so many times. In fact, when Katie listens to this, she's going to be surprised to hear what my top five was, because when I showed it to her,
It was a
literally
different list.
last night, it was completely different. Yeah.
Caleb, did
So.
yours change a lot too, or no?
The top two, no. My top two was set in stone. The Fleetwood Mac, I knew I wanted one of the three on there.
Yeah.
I did have Sinead and Billy kind of moved around. And Olivia Rodriguez was up there for a little bit. So a little bit, but not a ton. Not a ton.
Right. That was sort of similar for me. Like I had 15 that I considered.
Yeah.
Ultimately, four of the five I pretty much had consistently. I just didn't know where I would rank them.
The order. Yeah, sure. Yep.
And then it was ironically the one that I said was my most personal song, String Along Song by Jay Brannon. That one I sort of added at the last minute. I was like, oh yeah. Yeah, that's the one.
I had a
That's
couple oh
yeah.
yes. Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh yeah, no, you kind of blocked that pain, didn't you?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The couple that snuck on late were the Justin Bieber Love Yourself, and Vodka Cranberry, like I was saying before, my number five. They just kind of came out of nowhere, and I was like, oh crap, I can't not have those. Those are too good of songs. So but yeah, fun topic.
Nice.
So this was your topic, Caleb. Last week I chose movie festivals, and when I brought up the fact that next week or next episode is going to be episode number 50, I told Rob that it was going to be his pick, and he said, "Oh no, it's got to be
No,
mine."
no. It's got to be yours. You started this whole fucking thing.
So yeah, we got episode 50 coming up, and I'm never going to say no to get to pick a topic because I like to talk. So, and
Yes, but do
we.
you listen to the sound of your own voice and make your friend listen to it while you are driving in a car for 45 minutes? No? No? Just me? Okay.
No, I make Katie. I make Katie. I make Vivian every once in a while. Yeah. But so when thinking about the topic, I thought it would be perfect to kind of go back to where we started, go back to, what we are, and that's a podcast. And so the first episode Caleb and I did on podcasts, what we were listening to, what our top five podcasts were at that point in time. But I was telling the guys that I was going back and just updating artwork and stuff and just kind of cleaning things up, putting some show notes and stuff in the episode description. And I noted I listened to the episode because I was just like, oh, I wonder what episode one sounds like. And I realized all of my picks would be different now. And I feel like Caleb, yours would probably be different. And Rob, I know that we've talked about podcasts and we've shared episodes with each other privately and amongst groups of friends and stuff like that. But we've never officially talked about it on the podcast. So For our 50th episode, we are going to do our favorite podcasts, or whatever direction you want to take that in. If you want to say, you know, the five podcasts you're listening to these days, or, you know, I kind of have a few different types of podcasts. You know, you've got your news podcasts, you got your sports podcasts for specific teams that you follow, or you've got podcasts for, you know, keeping you in the know about certain hobbies or interests that you have. And so I'll probably go somewhere in that direction of picking one from, you know, five different genres of podcasts. But everybody can go whatever direction they want. But I think it'd just be fun to kind of check in with where we are on podcasts in general. And can we pick this one?
Absolutely.
It's your list, man. You can do what you want.
Yeah, I'd say it's fair game. I'm not going to pick this one, but you guys can. But it sounds like Caleb wouldn't, because he never listens anyway.
No, I couldn't do it, man. The idea of listening to myself is not my favorite.
Yeah, I don't love it.
I'm literally typing my five right now.
Oh, yeah.
So I've already
worked on it.
But I should say this. If anyone's listening this week and they want to tell us what podcasts they're listening to besides the High Five, send us a voice memo.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll hear yourself on the High Five amongst our 12 listeners.
Yeah. Who's that? Was that your idea, Rob, when we were talking off air? Was that people could send us a voice memo? Just do a, you know, record right on your phone on the voice note app and send it to us, email it to us, or put it on our social media, or text us if you have our private numbers. But yeah, we'll put you on, and we could start with this one, and I think that'll be a fun conversation to have. But anybody else have anything to say before we say goodbye?
Nope.
That's all it. Right.
Good episode.
Well, thanks for listening.
Good list.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Give us your feedback on social media, or reach out to us in the ways that you do. But yeah, stay high-fiving. See you guys.
See ya.
For listening to the High Five podcast. We'd love to hear what your high fives would be, or what you thought of ours. You can find us on Facebook or email us at thehighfivepodcast@gmail.com, or just say hi if you know us in real life. And a big thank you to our friend Trevor Durheimer for the awesome intro and outro music. See you next time.